our study on the seven I Ams of Christ. Christ said seven times in the book of John, I am. Of course, that small phrase, I am, refers back to Exodus 3, where Moses met God at the burning bush. And God said, I want you to deliver my people. And he said to God, who shall I say is sending me? God's response was, I am that I am. And then he said, I am hath sent me unto you. Tell them that. Now the reason he told them that is because they would have known automatically who that was. That name was the name that all of the nation Israel would have realized, would have recognized as the name for God. It was such a powerful name, they didn't like to even write it when they were transcribing something, and that phrase was in that transcription. They would wash their hands several times before they did that, not unlike the word Jehovah. But this means the great I am, the God of heaven. And so Jesus, in John chapters 6 through 15, makes seven statements, all of them beginning with the word I am. He was in essence saying to those he was addressing, I am God. It was a declaration of his deity. And when we come to chapter 15 of John, we're going to look at some very important words by Christ. They're found for us in John 15 and verse 1. Jesus says this, I am the vine. That's not what he said. He put a little word between the word M and vine, and that word is true. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the vine dresser, the vine keeper, the superintendent of the vineyard. When Jesus said, I am the vine, I am the true vine, he was making a statement about his connection to God and the nation of Israel in a very real way. The vine was a familiar symbol to Israel and its religious leaders. It was a symbol of God's people. God referred to them as a vine. A couple occasions referred to them in a very good sense. Other times he corrected them because they had failed to be the proper vine. Psalm 80 and verse 8 and 9, he says, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. On the door of the temple, there was a carving, a great carving of a vine, recognized by all who went there that God viewed them as a vine. This vine represented, one, that they were chosen by God, the nation of Israel. Number two, it represented God's work through the nation among other nations. They were to be a light to other nations. It showed that they were the people of God. God hand chose them, picked that nation. They were the people of God. Now, during their history, the nation of Israel got away from God. In fact, literally damaged that picture. They turned from God. Jeremiah 2 and verse 21, you can read it. The Messiah was also referred to in the Old Testament as the vine. So now we have these people still thinking, viewing themselves as God's vine. And Jesus stands before them and said, I am the true vine. He was saying, I, God, am the true vine. He was also saying, I am the true vine. I am the Messiah, the Christ, the one that God promised would come and eventually bring his people back and deliver them. When Jesus said that, he established forever, number one, his position and authority as the only way to God. Amen? There are no other ways. There aren't two ways. We learned about that last week. When Jesus said that, he was saying that all life is found in him. Physical life, spiritual life, eternal life is only found in the true vine. And when he said that, he was also saying that union with him brought honor and blessing, all God's people said. Now, in the rest of this chapter, the writer explains to us the benefits that are attached to understanding Christ as the true vine. What does it mean to us? What will it do for us? In fact, what will it do for anyone? And these verses that follow, chapter 15 and verse 1, describe for us what the vine does for the fruit-producing branches. Amen? Let's look at it, would you please? Number one, I want you to notice verse 2, and this is talking about Jesus. Jesus, the true vine, and you and I. Jesus, the true vine, and us. It says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That verse has been a conundrum for many people, because it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Why, I thought we believed in eternal security. We do. This is not talking about a person's salvation, but a person's profession. In the church today, in the body of Christ, we believe in a regenerated church membership. You have to receive Jesus Christ to become a member of a church. We believe true people that are in the body of Christ are born again. But in the body of Christ, there are many professors. They aren't really saved. I had an evangelist in my church for a couple of different times, but he had been an evangelist for 50 years. He'd preached around the world. We were sitting in my office and we were just talking. And he said, "Do you know what I believe?" I said, "What?" He said, 50% of the people that sit in gospel preaching churches aren't saved. Let me say that again. 50% of the people that attend church in gospel preaching churches aren't saved. Now, I don't know if he's right or not, but I know this. There are a large number of people that come every Sunday to services just like this, who know the lingo, who give to the offering plate, who take part in some of the social events, and yet they are not saved. And the way we know that, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, they produce no fruit. They're lost. So when he's talking in number two, he first says there are professing believers that have no possessing. But then he says, every branch of fruit, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Those are true believers. You bring forth fruit, amen? You produce fruit. Not only the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians, but you should reproduce yourself. Amen? You should share the gospel with those who do not know Jesus. And as the Spirit of God works in their heart, you see them come to Christ. So there are two pictures here, the professing vine and the possessing vine. Amen? Now, I want to say just a couple of things. Number one, good vines, according to this verse, that are connected to the true vine, must be pruned, all God's people said. Amen. Now, how many have ever been to a vineyard? I've been to several. In fact, Napa, Sonoma, Mendocino counties in California are the largest area wine producing in the nation. I've watched what they call in some of those places a superintendent. And he walks through that vineyard and checks every single branch. Wants to make sure that they're off the ground, they're not weighted down. And when it comes to the time that they must prune for the next season, they cut back those branches, and it looks like they're never going to grow another solitary thing. Not unlike those grape myrtles, amen? When they cut those things down, I say, well, that tree's done. They grow back. Pruning removes the dross. Pruning removes whatever would hinder growth. Now, we don't like pruning. That's corrective. We don't like it when God has to correct us, or when we have to go through a trial. We don't like it. But remember, pruning is not to hurt us. It's to help us. Now listen to this statement very carefully. When you as a believer are being pruned, you're the closest you'll ever be to God. He's standing right there, pruning you. You'll never be closer to God than when He is pruning you. It's a work God does. It's a work He must do. It's a work that He will do if you're a true believer. Then one other thing, pruning, according to our text, produces more fruit, all God's people said. Amen. In fact, it's fruit in this text. It says we produce fruit, we produce more fruit, we produce much fruit. It's a progression. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. So number one, the Bible says we're to be connected to the true vine. And those that are connected will be pruned, and that pruning will produce more fruit. Number two, without the true vine, we have no hope of growth. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. And listen to this statement. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You can't produce a solitary thing. We attempt it. We try to. We may try to make it look like, but true fruit is only produced by the vine that is abiding in the true vine. That word abide means to be permanently fixed. It has a thought of a centeredness in Christ. And Christ in us. What does Colossians say? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because we're connected to the vine, we're abiding in the vine, we're drawing our sustenance from the vine, we're drawing our life from the vine, we will produce and grow. If you are not abiding in the vine, you won't have any growth. It's that simple. I hear people say all the time, well, I'm saved, but I have the freedom to live any way I want to. You do. But you're going to produce nothing. If you're not abiding, you're not producing. When we're abiding in Christ, permanently centered, four things are taking place. You want to write these down. Number one, the first thing that takes place, it causes in us a dependency. We depend upon the vine. We depend upon Christ. Those people that thought they were the true vine, those Pharisees and Sadducees and priests that thought they were the way, were depending on themselves and their tradition. They weren't depending on Christ. And He's the true vine. and you're abiding in Christ, it'll produce in you dependency. Number two, it will connect you in a union. Abiding in the true vine is a relationship. Amen? It's not religion. Religion is man's way of trying to get to God. A relationship is God coming down to man, dying for his sin, and offering man salvation. And when man accepts that and sees himself as a sinner, he can have a true union or relationship with Jesus Christ. Abiding in Christ brings spiritual life. Amen? Spiritual life. How many of you realize that before you were saved, you were dead? Deader than a doornail. I don't know why we say doornail, but I say it all the time. You were dead. Ephesians chapter 2 says you're dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead men can't feed themselves. Dead men can't clothe themselves. Dead men can't walk around. Dead men can't do a thing because they're dead. And in a spiritual sense, until you meet the vine and you abide in the vine and you're connected to the vine, you have union with the vine. Until that happens, you're dead. But once you connect to him and get that relationship, you are alive spiritually. And I think a fourth thing that abiding in Christ means. It means that we have enablement. We have enablement. I can't do that. Isn't that what Moses said? God said, Moses, you're going to go to deliver Israel from Egypt. He swallowed hard. He knew what Egypt was like, and he knew he had a few marks against him. So he said, I'm not a good speaker. So send Aaron. Isn't that the way it is? Here am I, but send Aaron. He'd be good at that. Send that guy. When God wants you and God calls you to a place, no matter how difficult it may seem, he enables you to do it. There is supernatural enablement. Number 3, verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, here's that phrase, much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Connection with the vine. Your life will be full. You can't do anything without him, you can do everything with him. Amen? And I think it gives us three pictures. Number one, profitability. You're going to be profitable to God. How many ever worked for someone and it was manual labor? There are many of you worked for this person. There was one guy that was always late, never on time. Your 30-minute lunch hour for that guy lasted an hour and 40 minutes. He went home early, came back late. How many think your boss wants to hire as many of those kind of guys as he can hire? No. Why? That guy's unprofitable. Are you profitable? If you're connected to the vine, you'll be profitable. Without him, you can't do a thing, he says. With him, you can do whatever he asks you to do, no matter what that may be. Not only will you be profitable, you'll be productive. Missionary, I've known for years. His parents were missionaries to the Congo in the early 30s. When they finally, there's a whole other story, but when they finally landed in the Congo, his wife got black lung fever. She wasted away to nothing. The whole time, this missionary was trying to tell the tribes that were there of Christ, and they wouldn't listen. The worse his wife got, it seemed like the more distant the people got. Finally, his wife died. The way they buried people there is they dug out a log and put her in a log and then put her in the ground. And he buried her there, heartbroken. He went back to his little hut. The next morning he heard a knock at the door. And there were hundreds of those natives outside his door. He said, "What are you doing? Why are you here?" They said, "We heard you talk about God. We wanted to see if he was a good enough God not only to live by, but to die by. When we saw how you handled your wife's death, we said, this God must be a great God." So after that experience, hundreds and hundreds came to Christ. Though when he went, he thought nothing would happen. He not only was profitable, he was productive. Then one last thing. You'll have a power you did not know you had. Now don't leave here thinking I'm saying you'll be able to do crazy, goofy things. I don't believe that. But there's power in the message from the mouth of a person who surrendered to God. There's power in the doing in the life of a person who is committed and connected to the vine. There's power. Because you are not in control. According to verse 5, God is. And when God's in control, you'll have his mighty power. Verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. How many like that verse? Abiding in the true vine guarantees a productive prayer life. All God's people said. Amen. I mean, prayer and asking, amen? Just asking God. And those that are connected to Christ, the branch to the vine, have an open communication. In fact, I wrote this down. No connection, no communication. You want to have communication with God, you have to be connected to Christ. If you abide in him, You'll ask whatever you will, and it'll be done for you. You know why? What you will, what you want to happen, will be in line with the will of God. And God will answer your prayer request. God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. I had a man in my church came in, and we believed that God's still in the healing business. Amen? We don't heal. God does. Amen? We don't have any kind of magical. I don't touch you and you tingle. I touch you and you may sweat. I don't know. But he came in and he said, "Pastor, I've got a problem." He said, "I went to my dentist the other day. I had a sore mouth in this jaw." And he said, "My jaw was swollen." They began to look at it and took a biopsy, and they said, "It's cancerous. Cancer in that jaw." And he said, "We're going to cut it open." And they lined it. I'd never heard this before. They lined it with a gold paper. Gold. Gave him some antibiotics, and if it began to clear up, they'll still treat it. If it didn't clear up, they're going to have to remove the jaw. He said, "Would you pray with me that God would heal my jaw?" I said, "Sure." So I brought in the deacons of our church. We anointed him with oil on his forehead, and we prayed for him. This is not some mystical power we had. Please don't think that. It's crazy. End of that week, he went back to the doctor. The doctor said, I don't understand this. He said, "I took that gold paper out and your jaw's like baby skin." He said, "We're going to biopsy this thing." They did, and there's no cancer. He said, "I have no answer for that." This man had a New Testament in his pocket, and he said, "I do." He said, "What's the answer?" He said, "God healed me." And you can read about him in this little book. When you connect it to the vine, you can ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Then one last thing, verse 8 says this: "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Connection to the vine. Glorifies God. Jesus said, "I am the vine. I am the true vine. If you abide in me, these things will be an evident part of our relationship." Are you abiding? Are you connected? Is there a relationship? Are you a possessor or a professor? Lord, help us to live for you and to love you, to serve you, the true vine. And Father, may these simple things be part of our life because we're connected to you. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.